Hey, Moving Forward listeners, I'm excited to announce that the audiobook edition of the Poshmark Guide for Individuals and Small Businesses is now available on Audible and Apple Audiobooks. In this book, I'll show you how to create a side business on Poshmark from your closet or expand an existing retail business using this innovative e-commerce solution. The audio edition comes with a companion document that contains all of the photos, worksheets, and exercises from the print version, making this an immersive and interactive learning tool. If you're not already an Audible member, you can try it out for free and get this title with it through my affiliate link, which is available at bemovingforward.com, in quick links within the show notes for this episode, and in my link tree. The Poshmark Guide is also available in paperback and for Kindle. Start learning and moving forward today. Episode 463. I hope everyone is having a great week, and the weeks seem to be flying by. We're already at the end of March, which is pretty incredible. I want to welcome any new listeners to the podcast. We're getting new listeners tuning in every week, checking out the podcast. Thank you very much. Hope you're enjoying the episodes and getting a lot from them. Just to give you a little background, if you're new to Moving Forward, again, I always encourage our new listeners, check out episode 000, which is the current or updated trailer for the podcast. Actually, I made it last year, so I probably need to update it again at some point. The trailer gives you the roadmap on how to approach the series. I have episodes that are specific for interviews. If you just want to listen to conversations, more of a traditional interview style podcast, I've got lots of interviews, especially in past seasons. I've got a couple that are in this season as well. I've got episodes that are collections, mini-series. Right now, I'm on a mini-series about writing your book, something that I've talked about in the past, but this is more of a refresh and an update. I have other mini-series that are tied to other areas, such as launching a podcast, if that's something you're interested in, launching a business on Poshmark. I even have a mini-series on creating a coloring book, which is a whole different type of book that that you can write and create. So I've got episodes like that. I also have episodes that are more on the entertainment side. If you're interested in movies, I have a summer movie series I've run for the last couple of seasons. I've got holiday-specific episodes, although we're not really in a holiday period right now. But many different types of episodes. Take a look at what's out there. I've got a legacy website, which has a lot of the write-ups. And this year, I've got a newsletter, The Weekly Quirk. It comes out every Friday, which is the new home for the podcast, so to speak. That's where I sum up a lot of the episodes. I add additional thoughts. But The Weekly Quirk also dives into other areas, such as life hacks, tech hacks, and quirky news, things that are going on in the world that are very quirky. And so that's as of this year. You can find all of that information at bemovingforward.com. And that will take you to my link tree where you can find all of the different resources. I put a lot of resources out there. But moving forward, as I like to say, you can craft your own moving forward journey. There are so many episodes and seasons. You don't have to follow one particular path. You can cherry pick the episodes that really speak to you and listen to those episodes and gain what you need to and move forward in your own journey. And that's my hope. All right. Speaking of which, let's talk about writing. And I need to give you an update. Last week, as I recorded episode 462, I had two spots left. By the time the episode aired, there was one spot left. As of now, I'm recording this on a Saturday, a little bit ahead of time. This will come out on Thursday when you're probably listening to it. There are no more spots. The class is actually sold out. I am so excited. This is actually, I think, the first time I've ever had a class sell out. The last two times I taught this class, I was pretty close. I had always had a couple of spaces left, but I have that sellout banner now, which is kind of a, I guess, a little bit of a badge of honor to have. But I'm so excited. If any of you are taking the class and listening to this, I will be meeting with you tonight as of the air of this episode. So the first class will be tonight at 6 p.m. Eastern time. So if any of you are taking the class and listening to this, I want to welcome you a little bit early on this podcast to the class. We're going to have a lot of fun. And everything that I've been talking about on the podcast, we're going to go even further into in the course. For those of you who wanted to take the course, maybe you're on the fence and now you're not able to, that's okay, because I'm covering a lot of the fundamentals in this series right now. So right now, everything's tracking almost real time. And in fact, the podcast, I'm maybe a couple of weeks ahead because I'm starting the course tonight. So if you want to learn the fundamentals on writing a book, that's why I'm doing this revisit right now. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to continue on. I've been talking about writing a book over the last couple of weeks. And today we're going to continue on building off of last week. Last week, we ended by looking at smart preparation for writing your first draft. Now, we've got basically one more step that I want to cover, or really two more steps that I'm going to cover in today's episode before we talk about drafting, which we're going to get into next week. So I want to talk about writing tools. I think it is extremely important to pick the right hardware. And one of the things that I notice, and it's just kind of ingrained in us, is that most of us just assume that you're going to use the same thing that you use in your everyday life. And for most of us, that's your computer. So a lot of you may already come into this assuming, well, I use my computer for work. I use it for my email. I use it for other things. So that's what I'm going to be using for my book. That may or may not be the case. And what I want to do is I want to kind of broaden your options here and just give you different options that you may not have considered. And this is very specific to your first draft. Now, when you get into your subsequent drafts, regardless of what tool you start with, you will eventually need to go onto your computer, especially as you get into the editing and the rewriting and eventually into the self-publishing stage, all of which we're going to be covering a little bit later. But let's talk about the four major tools or tool groups that are out there in terms of your writing hardware. And we're going to start with your computer. And I would lump into that your tablet if you're some of you may be writing on a tablet. I recommend if you're using a tablet, you're probably going to want to use an external keyboard. Using the touchscreen keys, is it possible to write a book? Yes. In fact, I interviewed a guest who actually pecked out a book on her iPhone, which is pretty incredible. So it is possible. I don't think it's the most efficient way for most people to do it, but if that's all you have, then make use of it. I personally like a tactile keyboard. So if you're using a tablet, and I have a Microsoft Surface, and I have a keyboard case with it, and I have written drafts of my books on that Surface, and it gets the job done. And if I need something small and portable, that's usually what I'll take in lieu of lugging around my laptop, which for the most part I keep stationary. So your tablet, your computer, whether it's a desktop or laptop, that's your most traditional device and what many of you probably assume you'd be using. Now, what I'm going to do with each tool category is just give you some brief pros and cons. Let's start with the pros. Your computer, you're used to it already, especially if you have one that you use in your everyday life. It's efficient. In fact, computers are designed to be very efficient in terms of the keyboard layout, in terms of the key placement, and they're just designed to be workhorses. There's a lot of software that's out there, both inexpensive, subscription-based, expensive, and what have you, in terms of your software options. You could write your book on, say, a Notepad app that comes free with your book, with your computer. You could write it on a word processor like Microsoft Word or Office 360. There is also specific writing software like Scrivener. I've used a combination of all of these. I've written drafts on Scrivener, which I think is a great specific drafting software. And for the most part, over the last couple of years, I really have gravitated more towards Microsoft Word, specifically using the Office suite, the cloud-based Office suite. All right, so it's efficient. It's something you're probably already used to, and it gets the job done. What are some of the downsides of using your computer? Number one, you may be sick of using your computer. Imagine if you are using your computer all day at work. You use it for your personal tasks, your budgeting, your scheduling, what have you. Maybe the last thing you want to do is sit in front of your computer again and hit those familiar keys. And that can have a psychological effect. If this is a device that you're already using for so many different tasks, you might be sick of looking at it. And maybe when you're writing your book, you want to be away from the different tools that are part of your everyday life. And in fact, it's not a bad idea to separate the two. The other thing that is a downside about computers is that computers are distraction filled. You have alerts, you have emails, you have all sorts of things. You will either need to turn those off during your writing session, and we'll talk about that as we get into smart writing habits over the next couple of weeks, or you'll have to put up with a lot of distractions. And I know me, I tend to need to have a distraction-free environment when I'm focused on my writing. It can be intimidating. If you're using something like Word or word processor, you open up that blank screen, you see that blinking cursor, that can be intimidating to look at. And that, so it might not be the most ideal writing environment. And I do put that in as part of writing environment is what you're looking at on the screen. Speaking of which, looking at a computer screen, you may get eye strain. I mean, because the way these are designed with the retina displays, with the high definition displays, with the backlighting and everything, it might not be the most comfortable to look at if you're doing extensive writing. So kind of keep that in mind as well. And the final part, which I'm going to touch on more as we get into drafting, is that the keyboards, in my opinion, are a little too ergonomically designed. In fact, you've got every key right there, including your delete, your backspace keys. And there's a specific reason why I think this is an inhibitor for writing your first draft, which I'm going to talk about it next week. All right, so those are some of the downsides, and I've given you some of the pros. All right, what other options do you have outside of your computer? Well, before we leave the computer behind, I will give you one way you can use your computer without using your computer, and I'll demystify that right now. So if you're sick of using your computer, if your computer is the one that has all the distractions and all the beeping and all of the daily tasks that come with it, all the baggage, in other words, one thing you might want to consider is if you have an old computer, one maybe in your closet or in a drawer, an old laptop that you're not using anymore, consider using that, your spare computer, if you have one, as your designated writing device. And one of the nice things about that is that you can remove everything off of it. You're not using it to check email or your social media or any of your daily tasks. Use that for your writing and keep the two separate. It's almost like having a work computer and a personal computer. And that can be also a great way to get acclimated to a whole different device, one that is not associated with your daily life. So that's an option that you may want to consider. All right, leaving computers behind. There are, as I briefly mentioned last week, third-party writing devices. And there are several options out there. I will mention two. One is a secondhand device. They no longer make these new, but they're fairly inexpensive. You can find them on eBay and sites like that. It's called an AlphaSmart. And specifically, I think the model is a Neo or Neo 2. It's essentially, it looks like a keyboard, and it's got about three or four lines of text in a screen, in an LCD screen. And these were devices that were used to teach kids how to type in the early 2000s. The company went out of business, and as you can probably guess, you know, the advent of laptops and tablets and netbooks and Chromebooks, that's why. Because at that point, there's no need for dedicated, you know, devices teaching kids how to type when you've got, you know, laptops and netbooks and Chromebooks that can do so much more. So these devices flooded the secondary market. A lot of them sold by schools, but also anyone who happened to have one. And they have found a second life with a lot of authors. In fact, I have one. I got one for my birthday a couple of years ago, and I have used it for rough drafts. It's great. And there are a couple of pros with it. Number one, I don't have to look at a huge blank screen. I can look at a three or four lines, and it's great for just banging out that first draft. The keyboard is very tactile. I like the feel of it. And the thing is very sturdy. Unlike a computer, which has a lot of delicate parts, this thing is more like a calculator in that it's like a big plastic keyboard. You could drop it. You know, you could, the thing can take a beating, and it's fairly sturdy. And so what I like about it is that I can take this with me to the coffee shop or the library if I just need to do some quick writing, and I can get a lot done. And there's no distractions. There's no email. There's no social media. There are no apps or anything like that. It runs on AA batteries. And I will tell you, just I think it's 3 AA batteries. That thing will last a couple of months because it doesn't generate or use up a lot of power. And then what you do is it has a fairly big storage capacity. You can transfer your work to your computer at the end of the day. And so I like it for those reasons. The other reason why I like it, and this will be something I touch on more next week, is that it's hard to edit. Although there is a backspace and delete key, it's not really designed for editing like a laptop where you can just point and click your mouse and correct the typo. And especially with the large screen, those typos will stick out. But we'll get more into that on a future episode. All right, so I like it for those reasons. It's inexpensive. You can find them on secondhand. There's another device called the FreeWrite, and I think it's Astro House is the name of the company. This is a startup company. I think they were started on Kickstarter originally, and they have kind of taken a page from the Neo and created a dedicated drafting device. And they come in several models. There's one that's kind of like, it looks like a big bulky typewriter. It's not that portable, but the advantage of it is that it's got what are called those cherry switch keys, which are very tactile. Almost feels like an old school keyboard. Or think of the typewriter if you've ever typed on a typewriter. It's got really punchy keys, which many say are very pleasant to type on. And one of the downsides, I didn't mention this with laptops, is that laptops and tablet keyboards can sometimes feel very mushy. The keys are just designed to be very flat, so there's not a lot of tactile with them. They don't have that kind of crunch or that bounce that you would on a more traditional keyboard. And so the FreeWrite has kind of solved that problem. It also has a small screen. It's got a tremendous memory. Unlike the Neo, the Alpha Smart, one of the advantages of the FreeWrite is that it syncs to the cloud. It has a cloud service, and what you write saves to the cloud, and then you can transfer to your computer for editing. Unlike the Neo, which actually doesn't have any cloud-based storage system, you actually have to use a USB cable to transfer your writing to it. I think there is a wireless way to do it, but I've never quite figured that out. And so there's that. There's a model that's much more portable, and I think they even came out with a new one that looks very much like the Alpha Smart. And I think it is actually called an Alpha Smart in homage to the original Alpha Smart, and it's fairly similar. The difference is it's got the cloud service to it. All right, so there are many other third-party writing devices. One that has become very popular, there are these e-ink tablets that a lot of people swear by. I've never used one before where you can write on them with a stylus pen or you can use a dedicated keyboard. And those are very easy on the eyes. That's another thing about the FreeWrite is that it uses e-ink technology rather than LCD or kind of that retina screen. So it's easier on the eyes. If you've ever read a Kindle device, that's what e-ink is, and it's much easier on your eyes for long-term work or long-term reading. All right, what are the downsides? Well, first of all, it's a niche device. If you're only going to write one book, I don't know that it's worth it to invest in a third-party device just for one book. Now, if you are thinking about a third-party device, I will say that the AlphaSmart, which is the one that I have, the Neo, is inexpensive. You can find them on eBay. They usually run anywhere between, I've seen, $40 to $100. They've actually gone up a little bit in price. Just be aware of that, just because they have found that second life as for a lot of writers. So that's kind of a nice budget option. The FreeWrite, though, is much more expensive. You're looking at devices that are, I think, in the 400s, 500s, up to 800s, to depending on the model you get. So they're very expensive. I've never personally used one. I know two people who have them, and I've heard mixed things. I've heard some good. I've heard some drawbacks with them. But the downside is that if you decide to go with a real dedicated writing device like the free write, it is going to be an investment. It is more expensive. So that might be something you might want to consider if you are going to write more than one book. The other downside that I've heard, and this is mostly just from YouTube reviews, is that the refresh rate, because it's e-ink, there's a little bit of a lag with the free write, and that is on the models that use the e-ink display. I think their Alpha Smart model uses an LCD, same with my Neo 2, so it's pretty instantaneous, but that is a downside that I've heard some people talk about. Other than that, you know, if you need something that is much more devoted to a first, and I say first draft writing tool, you might want to look at a third-party device, particularly if you plan to write more than one book. If you're only going to write one book, you're probably better off using a separate computer, you know, turning off the alerts on your regular computer. You know, I don't know that it's necessarily worth it to invest in a whole other device just for one book, if that's kind of your one and done. But if you plan to write more than one, it might not be a bad idea to look at third-party writing devices. In terms of what I use mostly my computer. I have my, as I mentioned, my Surface with its keypad. I don't mind the keys. They're not the best, but that doesn't bother me so much. And then I also have a Neo 2, which I will take sometimes and use that for drafting. And I actually find that to be very pleasant. All right, let's talk about a third option, pen and paper, tried and true. I think this is an ideal option for many first drafts. And not for me personally, and I will tell you why. But if I could use this, I probably would. I love pen and paper, at least the idea of it. I do a daily journal, which I do in pen and paper. I tried using my phone. I tried using kind of like the virtual. But I find that I actually get more out of the journaling experience if I use a pen and paper. So it's suited for first drafts. And this will get into more into the drafting philosophy that I use next week, but I think it is well suited for first drafts, getting the ideas out, keeping it a rough draft and not over editing while you write, just to give you a little hint. It's great. Pen and paper, you can drop your notebook and not have to worry about it breaking. It's cheap. I mean, this is probably the least expensive writing tool out of the ones that I'm talking about. So pen and paper, I think, has a lot of advantages to it. What are the downsides? Well, pen and paper is time-consuming. For me, I can't use it because long-term writing with pen and paper, I get cramped hands and I have very illegible handwriting. So it would be more counterproductive for me to use it. But for some of you, this might be the way to go. You might want to write out your first drafts. In fact, I think it was a documentary I watched on Sylvester Stallone, who's not only a great actor, but he's also a screenwriter, and he wrote a lot of the Rocky films, and he's written a lot of screenplays. He does all of his drafts on pen and paper, which I think is fascinating to me. And he's got arrows and circles and side margin notes, and he's an example of someone who does his best thinking just using tried and true pen and paper. And I think that is really cool. Similarly, with the first draft of the book, John Grisham, who I mentioned last week, he wrote the first draft of A Time to Kill using legal pads, just like elongated notepads and scribbling on these outside of courtrooms. I wish I could do that. I would probably get a lot more writing done if I were able to use pen and paper. Back to the downsides, though. I'm talking about the praises in the con side, which is pretty funny, but illegibility, cramped hands, and eventually you do have to transfer your work to your computer. There is a point in which for redrafting, editing, for definitely for the self-publishing part, you're going to need to be on a computer at some point. So that's going to require some sort of transition time to get that information onto a computer, whether you're scribing it yourself, hiring someone else to do it, what have you. All right, there's a fourth option, which is a little unorthodox. I have used this before. I know other people have as well. And this can be a great way to get your first draft out, and that's to use your voice. And one way you could do this is you can use a tape recorder or you can use your voice recorder on your phone. Everyone has a portable multimedia device known as your smartphone, which has a built-in voice recorder. You can use your voice recorder and just dictate the first draft of your book. I think it is a great option to use. You can get the ideas out. In fact, talking out your book can be a way to draw connections and to remember things that you might not otherwise if you're just sitting in front of your computer. So there's a lot of pros to using your voice. I don't think you'll go wrong if this is an option you want to use. In fact, you may find that 15 minutes of talking out your book will do far more for you than sitting down in front of your computer. Downsides. Tangents. It's easier to fall into a rabbit hole of tangents, especially if you're a natural storyteller. You may be very loquacious. You may be very enthusiastic. You may fall into rabbit holes. It may be harder to focus. On the other end of the spectrum, some of you may not be comfortable verbalizing your story orally. So you might find that you're a little bit stilted. So it may not be natural to you to talk out your book. And the other downside is that eventually you do have to transfer this to an electronic format. Either by, there's software that can do that. I don't think it's really great. Dictation software or speech to text software. It's really, I've used some of that before. I don't think it's great. The other option would be to outsource to a third party to have your recordings transcribed. You could do that as well. All right, so you've got four different devices. Think about and try out all of them. Try them out before you commit to one. Don't assume it has to be your computer or your tablet. You may find another writing device to be a better fit for you. All right, now that we've covered hardware and a little bit of software, we're going to take a break. And then when we come back, I'm going to talk about another important aspect to finishing up the pre-writing stage before we get started. Hey, Moving Forward listeners. As you know, I try to provide as much helpful information as I can for free on this podcast, covering different topics and areas. But if you need more personalized assistance with starting a business on Poshmark, writing a book, or launching a podcast, I now offer coaching through the Clarity platform where you can book a call with me. To learn more, head over to bemovingforward.com and click Book a Coaching Call at the top. You can also find a quick link within my link tree, which is in the show notes for this episode. Whether it's a quick 5-minute pick your brain call or a 50-minute deep dive into your goals, let's connect so you can start moving forward today. All right, we're moving forward with episode 463, finishing up the pre-writing preparation before you get started on your first draft. There is one other, I think, a very important piece to this. I haven't really used these, but many authors I've interviewed have. I've used it sporadically, but at this point in my writing career, I'm pretty disciplined. Once I start writing a book, I usually have a dedicated schedule and a dedicated deadline. And now that I've had a couple of books under my belt, I'm much more disciplined about sticking with that. But if you're writing your first book, committing to a schedule, sticking to it, getting to the finish line, that's a lot to carry. So one thing you might want to consider having, and I talk about this in my course, is having an accountability buddy, someone who you can check in with, who's going to motivate you and keep you on track with your book. And I've interviewed a number of authors. In fact, if you go back about 2 years and some change, you will find a writing series where I interviewed a number of authors, fiction, nonfiction, self-published, traditionally published, and a couple of them mentioned accountability buddies. Accountability buddy is just someone you check in with. It can be a significant other or spouse. It could be a friend. It could be a mentor. It doesn't have to be someone who's written a book. It can be, but it doesn't have to be. It's just someone that you're going to check in with who's going to make sure you are accountable to this project that you're committing to. And that's what an accountability buddy is. It's someone to kind of crack the whip or encourage you, either way, to get your book done, to stick to your schedule. And so I really recommend, if this is your first book and you've tried it or you've tried it in the past and have never been able to finish one, get an accountability buddy. Someone you're just going to check in with maybe once a week, once every other week. It can be by text. It can be by phone. It can be meeting up for coffee. And this is someone that you're going to check in with to make sure that you are on target and that you are working towards your goal of getting your book done. So make sure your accountability buddy, and I don't care who it is, but make sure this is the type of person who will give you that kind of a little bit of that encouragement, be sort of that motivational coach, but also give you a little bit of tough love. Someone who's going to call you out if you're not sticking to your schedule or if you're kind of falling behind. Someone who will be able to lend an ear when things get a little bit difficult and maybe give you advice and suggestions on how you can continue writing even when, you know, life is getting in the way. So pick someone, think about someone, and your accountability buddy is also a good person to celebrate milestones and wins with. So if you finish a chapter, you finish halfway, where you finish the first draft, this is the person you're going to contact before anyone else, let them know, and celebrate with them. Take them out for coffee. We're taking them out for dinner. This is the person who's been there with you. They've been part of the process, even though they haven't been directly involved in writing the book. This is a person who has contributed to that. And by all means, this is the person, one of the people you're going to want to thank in your acknowledgments. So keep that in mind as well. Conversely, I interviewed an author a couple of years ago who used the stick method. In addition, there's the carrot, the encouragement. But the stick method is also interesting, where if you don't meet your deadline, then say you have to take your accountability buddy out for an expensive dinner or something like some sort of kind of like, you know, punishment, quote unquote, or some sort of price for missing your deadline. And I put that in quotes because it's not really a punishment. It's more just kind of like, okay, I missed it. Let's talk about it. Here's kind of a little bit of a consequence. There are many ways you could do this. One way is, you know, with your accountability buddy. This particular person I interviewed actually had a very cool one in which every day she missed her deadline, I think she would donate a couple of dollars for each day to a certain charity. She ended up making her deadline, though. But you can do very creative things to be motivated. Just kind of either have an encouragement system or a consequence system that's going to work with you. And this is something you can work on with your accountability buddy. All right, so wrapping up today's episode, we've covered writing tools. Remember, you don't have to stick with what you use every day in your everyday life. Experiment. Try different ones out. Try writing a short form piece, maybe a thought piece, an article, a journal. Try each of these writing tools out before you commit to one. And think about who is going to be your accountability buddy. Pick an accountability buddy. Let them know this is your goal. Work with them to kind of figure out what the timeline is. All right. Those of you who are joining me tonight, I look forward to our first class together. For those of you who want to continue learning about writing but maybe weren't able to sign up for the class, continue listening to this series. I'm going to be covering the fundamentals over the next couple of episodes, and you've got the episodes over the last couple of weeks if you want to catch up as well. All right, you can find more information at bemovingforward.com. Also, remember, I have the weekly Quirk newsletter, an additional resource. You can subscribe to it for free. It comes out every Friday. So you can find that at bemovingforward.com as well. Hope everyone has a great day and a great weekend, and I'll be back next week. For more information, head over to bemovingforward.com. The views expressed by any featured guests are not necessarily those of the host, the program, or affiliates. Moving Forward is produced by John Lim and bemovingforward.com. All rights reserved.